Blog Talk Radio.
Well, yeah, yeah, right?
Welcome to a pop-up edition of the Type 1 Radio. I'm here with Sophie, Holly, Eugene, and Harry.
I remember.
So I'm here broadcasting from a little shop that's now been turned into a gallery in the heart of the lanes in Brighton. And we're here to promote all these wonderful artists and their little pop-up adventure.
Yeah.
So, Sophie, could you tell us a little bit about the gallery and this the pop-up shop that we have here at the exhibition?
So, we're in 104 Gloucester Road in Brighton, and this particular project is run by Somewhere To, Pop-Up Brighton and Collective Gallery.
Uh-huh.
And the idea about this shop, it's an empty shop, it's been loads of different things, like a studio and a cafe. And basically, the owners of this shop have given this space to creatives in the city for an entire year, and people pitch to have this space for 1 week at a time. So this is the second week that it's been used. There was a sculptor in here last week,
uh-huh.
And now we have moved in. We found out about the space 4 days ago.
It literally pop up.
We set up 2 days ago, and we opened yesterday, and we're going to be out of here on Sunday. Yeah, so it's really fast. I'm really furious, but we always do this in Collective Gallery. We find empty retail spaces around the city. We move in, we transform it, and we sell and promote early career artists' work. Yeah.
And so is that the ethos of the Collective Gallery?
Yeah, we really support young, often struggling financially artists. So there's quite a lot of those in the city. We want to teach people about professionalism, crowdfunding, so getting the money that you need to do the stuff that you want to do, and doing it in a collaborative way, so with your friends, and just not being scared to be ambitious like that. Anything's possible. It's just doing it together.
This is Brighton.
Yeah.
So how did you all meet,
Holly? I met Sophie a year ago. I was in my second year. And I just came for, you posted something to me about doing a collective gallery. And I was like, ooh, I'll go along. And then you sort of interviewed me.
Yeah.
We bonded over cats.
You were great in the interview. I remember you brought loads of drawings of crazy cats. And it was like, hey, I like you. Come on my gallery.
I was like, she likes cats. This is perfect.
Yeah, you were great in your interview.
Yeah.
You weren't scared at all. I've kind of like their really weird casual agent.
Yeah.
Get them that much work, but keeps them in the loop.
She buys my work sometimes.
Yeah, I do buy her work. Yeah. And recently she
self-funding.
Yeah. She made a piece of artwork for another show recently, which is up on the wall there, and she kind of forgot to pick it up, so I just had it on my wall and was hoping that she wouldn't pick it up.
I was secretly waiting for her to buy it.
Just waiting for the cash for it. Yeah, you've got it now.
I was like, I'm not going to say anything, but I am going to buy it. Yeah.
We have it on radio now.
So
it's been made official.
It's made official. You have to buy it.
But I get a discount, I believe.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Discount.
Yeah.
10%.
Oh.
Oh,
35%. Come on.
Are we having a live auction
now? But these guys went to uni together, but they were in different year groups.
Yeah.
You're like the year above, aren't you?
Yeah, that's Eugene's second year as well.
Uh-huh.
I graduated in July.
Okay.
And I met you through Andy Felton.
Yeah.
When he was in your, what show was that?
So that was a second gallery called Death by Gallery. And that's the same one Holly was in. Yeah.
Yeah, so like mutual friends. And you've been getting Sarah some work, so.
Yeah, Sarah's your girlfriend.
But Sarah's in the show, but she's not here right now. She's got some work in the show, and she's currently redesign your website?
Yeah, she's my graphic designer.
Yeah, go-to graphic designer.
My go-to girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just really fun to work with, and I think it's her first major job that she's done outside of uni.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to do, just to give that piece of artwork to a small, group of collective, a small new business, or to an early career practitioner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and how many artists are in this exhibition that we have now?
In this show, there's 10 creatives.
Uh-huh.
So that's fashion, graphic design, a little bit of photography, lots of illustration, and some fine art as well, but mostly illustration. And I think that's because it's such a cutting edge illustration graphic design course here, so you just see a lot of that all over Brighton, and I love it.
So you've been doing, and you will be doing over the week, workshops in the evening, and is tonight's about typography?
Yeah, so we've got workshops every single day. Because we're only here for 6 days, it means that we really need to fill this time. And one of the things that we do at Collective is ask artists and practitioners to teach, because, in order to learn, it is great to teach. So last night we had Superhero Smackdown, which was drawing games, alcohol, costume making, and radness, it says up there on the window.
And how did that go?
Oh, well, I wasn't there, but I heard it was pretty good. And you can see the remnants of the costumes on the floor. There's, confetti and, little bits of glitter everywhere.
Yeah.
I heard it went really, really well.
There's a drunk person tossed out underneath the table.
Still.
Yeah, we just let him sleep there. And then tonight, at 7 till 9 p.m, we've got typography and letter kind of practice. So there'll be lots of games and some beers and how to do some cool fonts. So if you're a new business, you're anybody, you can come and make your own signage. Yeah, so that'll be really cool. That's by small type.
So will that be with the pen or on some sort of computer program?
Yeah, we're going to be doing it hand rendered, so that'll be pen on paper, real simple. Yeah, we'll go back to
old school.
Old school, yeah, proper basics here. Imagine tracing paper and pocket pens.
Mm. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got stuff going on all week. So if you come to this shop, you can actually see in the window we've drawn all of the workshops that are going to be up.
Okay, so tonight we have the lettering. So tomorrow...
Oh, yeah, it's a really important one. It's professional talks. So firstly, at 6:30, we've got ethical fashion, and that's by one of the graphic designers and print designers who's in this show. She's made the pillowcases.
They're pretty cool, by the way. There's a cool one of a spaceman.
Nicole Pointer, are you listening? That's your work. And then we've got a really amazing talk by a guy called Matt Shearer, and he's going to be talking about copyright, intellectual property. So what do you own as an artist? What are your rights? Working out those really annoying, nitty things, like if you didn't get paid on time, contracts. Who can sort that out for you? So we're going to do a massive Q&A about that. He's recently turned into a really amazing London agent. So he's going to talk about portfolios and getting work as well.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's £4. So come along. It's always amazing. He blows my mind. And afterwards, I'll do a little talk about how to open a pop-up shop in one day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, I think Harry has...
Workshop,
yes. Please tell us all about that.
So I'm going to, hopefully, lots of people come down. We're going to go to the record store, which is just down the end of the road, called Across the Tracks. And they usually have some bargain record sleeves at the front of the shop. So we're going to get a couple of those, and we're going to customize the vinyls and, sort of have a play with that, transforming the covers into some new piece of artwork.
Excellent, that sounds pretty cool.
And I don't know if we got a record player, but we could put the tunes on.
Yeah, we got a record player.
Yeah, so we're going to listen to some of the records, so that could be quite fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to,
Just so you all know, Harry has some artwork in the gallery right now, and they're kind of like defaced, collage, beautifully, morphed kind of record sleeves.
I'm loving the 4x5 Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
So that's
you can swear we have no FCC rules.
So that's
here
some of the record sleeves.
Oh, fucking yeah.
One of them does say fucking awesome as well.
Yeah.
We can say that.
So yeah, imagine, yeah, maybe some paint, maybe some collage, pastel pens, kind of defacing and making more beautiful these dreams.
Yeah.
So yeah, come along. That is going to be
2 p.m. on Friday.
2 p.m. Friday, yeah.
Excellent. And have you got anything going on in the evening, Friday?
Yeah, and then we've got another one late afternoon.
UV knitting.
Oh yeah, that's way later on. At 4 p.m. we've got collaborative guerrilla drawing, so that's going to be like loads of drawing games. Some extra stuff, maybe you're going to do some networking and take what you've made outside of the gallery and carry on your project.
Yeah.
And then at 6 or 9 p.m. we've got UV glow-in-the-dark knitting.
Whoa.
I'm sure you'll all be extremely happy about that. That's at the same time as our open art party, so that's kind of like our private view, but halfway into our project.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then Saturday?
Saturday is the all-day music festival. Esther's got some lovely things lined up, lots of acoustic sessions, DJs. Yeah, it's kind of more of a jam, so people are going to turn up and just play what they want, really. You
it's
can...
like an open mic.
Open mic, yeah, yeah. And then if you want, we'll like make some artwork for you and like draw you and stuff like that. So musicians, come and get involved.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, we've also got colouring in. But anyway,
back to basics.
How to stay in the lines.
I quite like the idea that you are going back to these art forms that are slowly, you know, progressively almost being lost because of digital art form or digital media that we're living in.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, there is a lot more digital, a bigger digital approach. Maybe that's got something to do with the fact that, you know, artists and creatives can't afford a studio anymore, so your studio is your computer. But I think a lot of people, you know, who are in the creative zone still love doing their colouring and still love just pen and paper because that's how we learn. Yeah, it's important to promote that and also remember it.
Yeah, definitely. Because once those skills are lost, that's it, a lot, aren't they? So you need to transfer these to the next generation to evolve these skills and then pass them on.
Yeah, it is important to pass those on to our children. Yeah.
So how did you get into art?
How did you guys get into creative?
I just remember drawing Batman a lot when I was
really?
In reception. And I used to draw him every day, and then give the teacher the drawing, and then just sort of started from there. Simple as that.
Batman.
Yeah. But then obviously went to college and then to university, and now I've just graduated. So sort of following the traditional education system,
and
but subverting it.
So have you incorporated synchronicity into your work?
I think it plays a part of sort of how the work is made. It's in some of the references or some of the ideas come from that sort of area. So some people say it's quite random, so like sort of words dropped in here and there, but it's all sort of come from somewhere, whether it's like a song lyric or like a film on the TV, someone says something, you know, that translates into the work. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's quite magical like that way.
How is Eugene? How did you get into creating?
I think it's weirdly, I do think it's something that's like naturally inbuilt in you.
Uh-huh.
I think that like it's a really interesting thing. You meet another creator, you feel like your brain is the same wavelength as them. I don't know, it's like that outsider feeling that I always kind of feel like I naturally have. And the more people you meet doing things like graphic design, they talk to you about what they're doing, like making a rep or something like that, and you think, oh man, like it's making me, you know, really hard.
Gets you going.
Yeah, and then when you're looking at certain rep or something, you think, damn, it's making me so excited, yeah, I want to do it.
Yeah.
And you go home and think, what's in my head? I want to make it look like that, and then it just happens when you realise, oh, this has got a name, to a certain extent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Excellent. Holly?
You have a weird story. I'll give you a really weird story. I was like... I used to doodle a lot, but I didn't realise how far back I've been doodling until like a week ago. I like picked up my old Harry Potter book, The Chamber of Secrets. I must have read it when I was about 8, and I turned to the first page and there was this little doodle on the chapter heading. Then I turned to the next chapter, and there was another one, and it was just through every single chapter that I've been doodling.
Wow.
And it was just like, wow, it's gone pretty far back.
Wow.
Like, my dad kept my paintings from when I was 5 and things like that.
Yeah.
Just the blob drawings.
I think those are the best drawings. So I think it's kind of cool when, you know, like, I see a lot of creatives, and the work that I like is quite naive, and I think people, they learn a certain technique and they do it so much that it's kind of perfect, or it reaches them like a maximum level, and then I think it's all about unlearning and going back to a kind of basics like we're doing, but also kind of remembering what it was like when you were a kid and drawing, really free and really cathartic and kind of playful, and I think that's such a beautiful place to be at. Yeah, quite a lot of the work in here is like that, I think.
Yeah, looking around, you have sort of collected the artists that seem to benefit each other,
complement each other, and sort of without knowing who's going to be in the show and what's going to go where, it's just sort of,
you just trust that.
And like these sort of just the way that they're sat next to the pink and the pink ear, and you know, just comes together quite nicely.
I'll take pictures for the folks at home to, so they can see what we're talking about.
See what we're looking at.
Sorry.
Or you can also
Well, you can go to our Facebook collective gallery, but we can even just like, we can describe some stuff for you right now if you like.
Yeah, go for it.
So imagine this, okay? We got like a green background, like light turquoise. With another pink background in the middle of it, with a hand sticking out the right hand side. She's got like pink nail varnish on with like black silhouette palm trees on the nails. She's holding a banana, it's peeled, it's had a bite taken out of it. So on the banana fruit, or the inside of the peel, it's like being dunked into what are they called?
Hundreds and thousands.
So it's kind of sexy. It's kind of cool. I like it. That's more like.
It's coming out of the painting as well.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming out of your painting. Where there's like loads of hands as well.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, there's just one hand.
Yeah.
But
it's so close.
It
glows in the dark.
What? Which one?
The banana.
The banana. We've actually got a UV light.
That looks like it's gonna go.
Yeah, it looks like it's glowing already, doesn't it? Because that pink, it's crazy. Yeah, we've got, and then, oh my God, we've got an amazing piece by Sarah Todd, Harry's girlfriend. Do you remember hammer beads, which are tiny little plastic beads that you would arrange, and then you put tracing paper on top and you iron it together?
Yeah.
All right, we've got like 4 massive
Swatch
watches. They're like A1s. Is that A1? A1?
Great, is it?
A0, it's pretty huge.
Quite big. I think it's A1 or 0.
Yeah, everyone who comes in goes straight over to it, and they're like, are you
They are well cool.
Me?
Yeah.
Whoa.
She has a good collection of swatches. They're all actual watches that she has.
What? How does she do it? Did you watch her do it?
Just like piece by piece, and then like put them together. So like they're all like separate bits, and then put together.
Wow, she's got the patience.
Yeah, really intricate.
It could be a belt.
Yeah, it could be like an actual
huge. Yeah. It took quite a long time.
Yeah, I think a good few evenings.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's it, you know?
But I think she's had the idea and she just sort of followed through with it, like, and step by step.
And so the good thing about this is that everything is for sale as well.
Yeah, everything's for sale. Part
including that.
Including the watch.
Yeah, which we need
guns. Yeah. Well, what we're doing as well in Collective is teaching people not only about professionalism and, you know, suggesting these talks about copyright and getting work, but give people the opportunity to sell their work. And that's also the kind of entrepreneurship side that we need people to learn. Because if you don't have that, then, you know, you have a lot of work lying around at home and at your mum's.
And that's a great idea because I think for young creatives like yourselves, it is quite hard to find those outlets. You know, mainstream galleries, they seem to be, well, if you haven't got a name, then we're not going to really take you.
Mm.
So I think it's an excellent that you're that you've got this space that you're giving everybody.
Yeah.
And there's more of these faces popping up all over the place. And I think the thing that we're trying to teach people is that you can do it yourself. You know, you can go into an empty high street shop, and you can set this up, and you can do it in a day like we do if you want. You know, it's so possible, and you can make money from selling workshops through your art or your talks. There's loads of different ways. Yeah, exciting.
Excellent. So, have you got any plans to be in the Brighton Festival at all?
Not this year, but we were in Brighton Festival last year. Well, we were in the Fringe last year.
Uh-huh.
We did a project called Death by Gallery, which was a tongue-in-cheek title after the first gallery, because I put so much love into it that I almost felt like I was going to die. So Death by Gallery was really asking the question to creatives, what does it take to stay creative? So we had some amazing works, and yeah, Hollywood's in that one. Yeah, what was your reaction to that question? What kind of artwork did you make?
I was talking about how when you go into a gallery, you kind of get criticised for whatever your work is made, and it's kind of like a satire piece. It's a comic strip, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Of panels, and it was a curator sort of comes in and criticises your work, and then you kill him and then put him in the gallery.
Crazy.
He's in the art piece. It's kind of like, I feel like a metaphor that, you know, you can take criticism and then it can become part of your work.
Yeah. It molds you, doesn't it?
Yeah. In a nasty way.
I guess people are pretty sensitive about, you know, being criticised, but it's a great part to play. And I think that's one thing at the university that creatives need, those crits. Those groups.
Yeah, they get lost, don't they?
Yeah, like just to be able to talk with a group of people about how can I make this better, or actually what doesn't work. You don't really have that after uni. You have to do it on your own, and that's, you know, that's tricky.
We need to set something up.
Yeah, we totally need to set something up right now.
Right now.
On this radio show.
What are we going to name it?
I don't know. You can't with a name.
So, where was the death pass?
Death by Gallery was in Brighton Square, which is in the South Lane.
Uh-huh.
And that was the whole square has got quite a lot of empty shops in it. And we
not the one with the dolphin.
Yeah, dolphin and like two little naked children, like strange,
yeah,
funny fountains.
Oh, in the middle.
Yeah.
Quite an odd little piece.
It's a weird little piece, and it's a weird little square.
Good little cut
through
that,
though. Yeah, we had balloons that were going up into the sky, and yeah, we all did workshops again. We were there for 6 weeks, or just about a month actually, and that was awesome. We've gone over the tour, loads of stuff, all the artists tour. Yeah, it was rad.
Excellent. Should we talk about some of the other art pieces? What about Harry? Can you talk us through this very large piece?
It's a piece I made at the university with my friend Ben Hall. So he's got a few little doodles on there, and we just sort of worked over a couple of days on it, just sort of painting over it. And yeah, there's no real theme behind it. It's just sort of a collaboration of ideas.
Ooh, so it's got a big... Who's the dude? It looks a bit like...
the guy at the top.
Yeah, it's like Peter Sellers.
It's the page master. Macaulay Culkin film.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah, so he's the page master.
And what else do we have? We have bags to sale here?
Yeah, that's Sarah Fong as well, the one who did the watches.
Harry's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Harry's girlfriend. She's gone and done loads of stuff for this show.
They like iPad bags?
Yeah, they're like camera bags, iPod bags, whatever you want bags. And then she's got laptop bags, which looks like tiny baby suitcase. Sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally put your child in one of those. It would be rad. and then, yeah, she's made these crazy bags, which are...
Studio bag
is like a beautiful, feels quite leathery, white bag, and there's loads of like pen holders at the side. So she's got all the different coloured pens, and so that's obviously.
Do they come with them?
They do, yeah.
But they do. That's only £60, people.
That's a bargain.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Handmade.
Yeah, handmade.
Handmade.
So, Holly, can you tell us about your pieces of the election.
It's a very special piece. To set up a poll booth at the front of the store, it's called the unfriendly poll booth, because what you do is you vote for the person that you dislike the most, instead of, you know, what we do in the elections is vote for the person we like. The reason we're sort of doing that is because it's much easier to hate the politicians than it is to like them.
And don't worry, you can actually vote for more than one politician that you dislike.
Yeah. So all five there.
Who's in the lead? Who's winning?
We've got Nigel, we've got David, we've got Ed, we've got Nick, and we've got Natalie.
For the people at home, Holly has made you know, pottery heads.
Yeah, like satirized heads, and they look very dirty and they're very slimy.
Like really spitting image.
Yeah,
really, really quite grotesque.
Yeah.
But, you know, amazing, obviously, gorgeous.
Should we announce the poll results?
Yeah, should we look at...
I've got a post-it note. Pass it over.
There you go.
So, most hated, with a vote of 19, is Nigel Farage.
Oh,
no
surprise.
Second place, David.
Yeah, sorry, Dave.
But in third place, joint, very surprising, Natalie and Ed.
Whoa.
I thought Natalie would be at the bottom, and Nick only got two votes.
Nick is actually the most loved in this.
I don't understand. I thought he'd be my
I thought he'd be up there with Nigel
Dave.
And Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what's going on, Brian?
I mean, I haven't voted yet, so maybe that can.
And so that's after 2 days, so after the full 6 days.
On Sunday. Who worked with 25-year-olds and younger to find space and do cool stuff for free, worked with a guy called Ashley, who runs Pop-Up Brighton, which is really similar to Collective.
Uh-huh.
And they're running this one-year project. And actually, somebody dropped out like 4 days ago, the person who was meant to be in this week, sadly. But really good for us, because we were the first people that they called.
Oh, okay.
Say, hey,
excellent.
Is it possible? Would you be able to do this next week? I looked at my diary, I was like, I guess I could do my work there. And obviously it's crazy, I've got a total nervous twitch whenever I do a project like this, but it's good for your soul.
You're on the balls.
Oh yeah. I drink way too much coffee.
And so, have the whole year, has that been already picked up to people? Later on in the year?
So I don't know exactly how it works, because I'm not on the decision panel, but I believe that every 3 months a group of people can pitch and then they'll be chosen for the next 3 months. Another group is coming in soon. It's a homework club from the uni. Are you doing it as well? Oh, yeah, third year. Third year should totally do it as well.
Yeah.
Have something to do after uni.
Yeah, really exciting concert.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what the second years are going to do in here?
No, the last year was quite home club based. It's kind of like the element of after school kind of things. So it's an extension of what they were doing in the studio. So it's all kind of like restricted creativity, but nice. That makes sense.
Restricted, like tied back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to draw with my mouth. Mm-hmm. I used to do that.
S&M.
Yeah. It does look a bit like that, actually, yeah.
Oh. Well, 50 Shades of Grey.
Guys, I did not read that.
Did they
show it every 15 minutes?
Yeah, just the...
Just every 15 minutes, they're showing that film. Oh, dear.
What? Really?
Every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Wow.
Is it believe
it. Valentine's Day?
It's so popular.
Is it that popular?
Yeah.
I think I've seen so many reviews about how terrible it is.
I thought it flopped.
I thought it flopped as well.
Just on the amount of terrible reviews.
Well, I don't think, apparently it's not that sexy.
You heard it first.
Flopped. Oh, no.
Bring on. Back to the gallery.
Yeah. Oh, just to, you know, this hasn't flopped.
No.
Just to let those people out there know.
So, can you tell us a bit more about, so what's going to be happening afterwards? Once this is gone, so next week, what's the plans for you all in your artistic endeavours?
lads, what are you doing over there? Touching each other. what are your plans next week after this is all done?
I think I want to move into some like animation. So as we're talking about like, traditional stuff, like the painting and the drawing,
mm-hmm.
I want to get more stuff on the web.
Yeah.
Just for people. More people can see that. Because it's nice people being able to come in and see in the gallery, but you're going to get so many more people seeing it online these days than, like, a few people coming to check out in the shop.
Yeah.
So it's having that, like, mixture of, like, stuff out there in the real world.
Real and Matrix.
And then Matrix world. Because, seems to be where the views are.
And Eugene?
I'm in the same course as Holly, so we're going to do an exam project next week. So.
Are you?
Lose my vitamin A again for a while.
Good luck with that.
We're sort of in a waiting stage, like waiting for it to
come
on Monday. I think we're giving them a list of projects.
A list of projects?
Yeah, like quotes.
Oh, that's like how that. You make your final piece?
We have to pick one. No, after we've got like a month. Also, before make a little bit more.
Oh, okay. So this is the last brief. What did you just say?
Nothing.
Harry's pretty open, so she'd be able to do.
How long can you get to make this piece? Okay, cool. Do you have any idea what it might be?
No. They're still writing it.
Oh god.
So this
you get a quote and then you just pick from that.
Yeah.
And you can do how much? What do you have to do? Like anything.
Anything, I think.
You just go for it.
Yeah, you've got to do work. Told but honestly, to do anything else but exam projects, that's not
going
to happen.
Wow, that's amazing. We didn't do that at all in our final year of university. For mine, we were just told at the very beginning of the year, okay, this is your year, do what you want. We're going to have crits every single week. Get on with it. Yeah.
I prefer it like that. I prefer not to have an exam project because it feels like we're all kind of at the stage where we know what we kind of want to do and we're suddenly restricted again.
Perhaps that's something to do with preparing you for future commissions.
Yeah, those things like that.
Yeah.
So this is your last few months at uni then?
Yeah, and then we graduate. Very daunting.
Yeah. What are you going to do after uni?
Me?
I think we should just prepare for it now. Because it just comes and then
this
is it. You can ask them all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try and do as much as I can to not be unemployed.
That's right. And that's why you're going to go to that talk on Thursday night about portfolios, right?
So you're going to stay in Brighton, though?
Mm.
I don't know yet. Pens.
Oh, I'm leaving. But
I know.
Are you leaving?
I like the idea of going somewhere where not like I like home places like that where no one really is kind of focusing the spotlight. Mm. I don't really know where I'm going. I like Germany as well.
I like Germany too.
Yeah,
Germany's becoming a bit East London.
The whole of Germany.
Maybe
is
Ireland.
Becoming...
I don't know. Somewhere. Ireland.
All
like Northern Ireland. I like the Game Boy in Northern Ireland. I can imagine myself living around there.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty reserved guy, so I can fit in. Take the accent, obviously.
Your rings aren't reserved.
No, not my teeth.
Oh, I love them. Can you tell us about your rings?
I have three shrunken heads on my middle finger. They're my enemies that I killed.
He's got tears tattooed onto his face from when he was in prison too.
On my little finger, I have a sovereign that was found in a field, so I can only assume it was. I'm not not to be uncorrect, but like Traveller Gold, because I don't know why else there'd be a sovereign in the film.
That's totally.
Really hard to find a gold ring in the film, and this other one, it's just pure tack from a car boot sale, 50p.
Yes.
But it's not the kind of moves you can make so people don't sit next to you on the train. So I have a shaved head as well, and a massive earring. The kind of things like this make people not sit next to you on the train, and then you get like table to yourself and stuff.
Avoidance.
Yeah.
Yeah, sausage rolls.
We
don't
want to
go next to the sausage rolls.
No,
it's stinky,
isn't it? Yeah.
I'm mostly here to hype up Harry. I'm his main honcho. Oh,
gosh. Now we're brothers.
You guys going to collaborate?
I'm surprised we haven't.
Yeah, we haven't really worked. I think when you're that close to people,
it'd be dangerous.
No, it's just like having a conversation or like, you know.
We've talked about it a few.
You do collaborate, yeah. But not in the sense of like a project or like work, but we've got similar interests.
I've only started really collaborating this year. Like I did 2 collaborations this week. Just, why didn't
really?
I come up in it?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think I'm normally like reserved for showing people my work. I like, really hide it a lot, and then. Because you're in the studio all the time at the moment, you can't really hide what you're doing constantly.
Yeah.
So you said to me, oh, I like your drawing. Do you want to draw with me? And it's like, oh, no one's ever asked me.
Oh, bless.
I did a project yesterday with someone where we're trying to get through we have a whole pad of paper, like a read, about 500 sheets each, and then we're trying to draw that consistently. And after 2 hours, we've done like 200 each, but trying to throw up. So he's taking a break. So he's basically looking at the idea of the studio. Is people describe the studio as a different world to the outside world, and they always talk about like, oh, when I get to the real world, I want to be doing this. But it's challenging that and saying,
yeah,
when you're in a university education studio, why isn't that the real world? You're making work for yourself constantly,
yeah.
And no one is asking you to work for a paycheck or anything like that. That is the most real you're ever going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
you
it's
do
so
it with
important.
The passion, don't you?
Yeah, and it's the most like I think I don't know. This year I've been like heeding. We had a lecture from Ken Garland at the start of the year. He said, never lose your like sporadic nature and your free nature. It kind of like harkens back to that whole Picasso thing. It's like, I spent 20 years trying to paint like a master, and the rest of our life trying to paint like a child.
Mm.
It's like, that's like the key thing for me this year.
Mm.
I don't want to like be imitating at all. So, you know, I just want to... So then when I do leave university, people want to reward me for my brain, not just for my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's important thing to happen both like linked up. There's that quote. Get your head, heart, and hand connected when you're at university.
Yeah.
Big guy.
I think you're totally right. University shouldn't be this place which is fake. It should be a place that you can, you know, chaotically get in touch with everything around you and practice. I mean, you're there to practice, obviously, and be challenged, but yeah, the real world should be that space. And I think that's why so many people come out of university going, shit, like, I have no idea how to put this into a professional practice. Well, that should have been what you were doing the whole time, you know, like, just getting involved with everything around you. I think sometimes university can be a bubble.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's a safe bubble.
Really is.
I think if I had gone to university now, if I did it all over again, I would like spread my hands out and get in touch with people outside of the university and try and do as much as possible. Because at that point, yeah, you don't have to worry so much about your bills because there's a student loan. Although, yeah, you're riddled with debt for the rest of your life.
Like most of that, why?
Well, yeah, like some people can take that for granted, and actually, it's luxury.
Yeah,
it really is. Wonderful. Yeah.
Shout out to all the first years.
Yeah. Oh God.
Get your head in the game.
So, did you graduate? A few couple of years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 2013 I graduated.
Uh-huh.
And it's been years and years and years of doing loads of different types of art, design. I've studied fine art and photography and visual communication, illustration, fashion and textiles with knitting. And then I went on to music and visual art. So that was with performance as well. So in the end, I was a performer, a durational performer, which is a really abstract type of performance with music. And I tested myself for an entire year. I would draw lines. Now, this is like, you know, where you think I go crazy, because I went crazy that year. But I drew lines onto A4 pieces of paper and filled up the entire space. And that's that became the challenge, because it's really difficult to do something like that, just to sit and draw. That's why I thought your project where you go through 200 pieces of paper is kind of amazing. So that was like what I was doing, this kind of, what happens if you don't stop? What happens if you keep going? You actually, you turn yourself into this transformed machine where you're like, yeah, I'm not going to let that distraction or that itch get in my way. I'm just going to do it. So we would, I would sit for hours every day and try and do a piece of paper. And, you know, at the beginning, it was just procrastination. I'd just be like, oh, I'm just going to make a cup of tea, or I'm just going to Hoover, whatever. But I, like, disciplined myself. Not aggressively, but I would sit every day and draw some lines into a piece of paper. That would be A4, then it would turn into A3, A2, A1, and eventually I drew lines onto a massive 20-meter roll of tracing paper. I would sit and sing each line individually, so this would be quite an abstract music score, kind of like, if you imagine the beginning of The Shining, devil sounds, but beautiful, quite choral as well. And I would sit in a room that I've made extremely clinically white, and I have a desk where I have this tracing paper that I would sit and draw lines onto. I had a flickering light bulb above my head, and as I began the piece of paper, it would be flickering, and by the end of the piece of paper, it would just brightened up, and then go back to flickering every time I start a new line. There was animations in the room as well about lines covering my face, because I really did get obsessed that year. And the performance that I did lasted for 5 hours, and by the end, I was in agony. Hadn't stopped. I was actually crying because it was just bizarre. I'm not really one to cry in front of people, so that was really very, very vulnerable, strange thing to do. But yeah, that project transformed me.
That sounds like a real meditative process that you went through.
That's exactly what it's about: meditation, discipline, transformation, repetition, and just seeing what you can do to yourself, how far you can go. Oh God! Hello. Yeah. I'm actually a really nice person.
She's lovely, folks.
Don't be worried.
And so then did you start the collective gallery?
Immediately after university, before we'd got our results, I said to a bunch of friends, looking at like all the other courses who had saved up money to do like a little project outside of university. A lot of these guys in the illustration and graphic design courses do that over the years, and they make up a little bit of money to do a show in London probably. And our course didn't do that. We were quite a little course, and I felt kind of worried about that. So I said to my friend, can we put on a show? We could probably do it. Like, I had no idea what we were doing. Everyone was super up for it. But actually a couple of weeks into that summer, a lot of people got the fear, got cold feet, and just said, I can't do it. I haven't got the money, I haven't got the time, need to go get a full-time job in an uncreative job role. So this is like Tesco, wherever, you know. And I was kind of gutted about it because, you know, that piece of artwork that I just explained, it was really like important, and it really transformed me. And it made me realize that this is what I will do. I'll definitely be in a creative job role. That's what I've been training for 9 years. And yeah, so all my friends said no, and then I just thought, well, what is it that we're missing? What don't we know? And we didn't know anything about business. We had no idea. Like, that's just the one thing that had always been missed out. Maybe we had a boring lesson about how to do a budget while we were all asleep, but that was it, you know. Sorry, University of Brighton, you were awesome, but that didn't work out. So I did some business courses over that summer, started some workshops, to just get the ball rolling. And then I opened my first gallery, I guess, 4 months after I got my results.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a really fast
learning curve
process. Yeah. Yeah, we did a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter. We raised £3,500 in 2 weeks.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we moved into an empty butchery. We were there for 6 weeks and one day. We sold 21 different artists' work. We gave workshops, did professional talks. We were just doing whatever we wanted in that space. It was about ownership for us. We didn't want to be in another white cube.
That's brilliant. That's amazing that you... How much did you raise in 2 weeks?
£3,500. Actually, it was £2,600. But
that's amazing.
2 weeks. Yeah. But, you know, we're 21 different artists, and their families and their friends all backing us. Everyone just thought, you know what, this rings home for me as well. loads of people have been in this situation, and I think it's the patrons who are now professional, who remember that moment when they came out of uni and you go, oh, what am I going to do? They're the ones who give us the money.
So, and how important do you think that crowd surfing sites such as Kickstarter and Indiegogo are to aspiring everybody, business people, artists, people using these sites? How important do you think they are in this current age?
Yeah, I mean, they are so valuable. And I hope that everybody listening realises that if you're a young artist, you can use it to, be strategic about it, do your research. But it is a wonderful way for your community to back you. Your community decides your success, not a group of people who don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a truly wonderful experience. Yeah. Holly, you've done some crowdfunding now, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. That was a really nice way you put that. Community sort of backing you. Never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm. They decide your success.
No, we've done some crowdfunding, we've done some collective and things like that. We do some for our graduate show. We put on.
Have you done it?
Yeah,
Club
Nights. Oh, Club Nights. Amazing.
Yeah.
We've raised them for like 12 grand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my god,
that's
amazing.
Are we at the point of stopping now?
Yeah, we're kind of. We're
like,
not enough. We
have
respect for society.
It's not. Stop taking the money. Getting
people
drunk.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Yeah,
just get
the show.
We've all contributed quite a lot as well. Contributed like a tandem collection and stuff like that. So.
Right, yeah.
If someone did the maps, we'd probably have given up a lot of money.
But as long as it's staggered, it's fine.
Yeah, and people will give money to something that they love. And actually, money is just this bizarre, abstract thing that we all seem to use.
You can do rewards for that as well.
Yeah.
If they pledge a certain amount of money, you give them original artwork or incentives for them to back you as well as just give them money.
Yeah.
They can get a piece of, artwork, or that's what we did with our degree show. So if you pledge a certain amount of money, you'd get maybe original print from someone in our class or like.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can pay in other ways, it doesn't have to be money.
Even a pound helps on Kickstarter as well.
Yeah.
Just to, meet someone and think.
Mm.
When the Theo Davis and that, they were like, it just exposes them by having every back of things.
It's called Alternative Life. It's like a big thing. Everyone was passing it around going, oh my god, they've only got 4 grand and they've got like one day to raise it.
Oh my god.
It was like a musical online. Cool. It's like, how those books where you sort of follow the story and then you turn to page 200.
Oh, the Steve Jackson bit.
I think it's like that.
Oh, I love that. I think it's so cool.
It got funded.
Yeah.
In the process now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. So there you go, success.
It's a truly wonderful thing, and I think when you put something out on crowdfunding, you really are vulnerable at that stage because you might not get the funding, especially on Kickstarter, because either you get the money and you're successful, or you don't reach the goal and you don't get any of the money.
Yeah.
So it's quite a unique way of raising money. It's very urgent.
Tell you what we did, though. Our class did the Kickstarter, and there was something in the terms and agreements that we didn't get the money in time for the show, so we'd raised all this money for our degree show, and then there was something in the small print that said you don't get the money until this date, so I don't know where they borrowed the money from. So check the terms of agreement.
It's all on their website. They take 7% of everything that you raise, and it takes 2 weeks for the money to come into your account, and you need to be really careful about tax as well, because you need to put that into your earnings.
And Indiegogo is a little different, because the money that you raise, you get it regardless of whether or not you actually reach your goal.
The alternate.
Alan did that with the Ollie Sink Summit.
Yeah.
So, me and Harry, we're sort of...
Go way back.
No, we've only just met today. But
we've sort of like known each other a long time.
But we're sort of part of a synchronicity group.
Yeah.
Spanning the world.
Yeah.
And,
it's cool.
So, a guy in Canada actually put us in contact.
Yeah.
Neither of us met.
So aside from being Northern, it's an online community through Twitter, Instagram, Facebook of people interested in synchronicities.
So there's our friend Alan Green, he runs Sync Book Press, so they put out books and they do various
podcasts
during the week. And last summer they organised this Olympia Sync Summit because one of the guys, Andres Jones, he lives in Olympia and he wrote a book about the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, which is depicted in this park in Olympia. So we thought it was a really cool place to go and do it. So they had an Indiegogo campaign to raise funds for to get all the people there.
Getting people together you would never, normally meet.
Yeah, so. And even though these people are in America, like us, they very rarely meet because of such vast distances.
It's like a subculture, not a subculture, but, a small group of people in one town.
It's quite amazing that there's actually probably a large group of us here in Brighton.
Yeah. Slowly getting together.
Yeah, yeah. The people that I run the station with are met synchronistically, and we're all part of this group.
Is that, like coral, right? If you, you get a couple of different types of coral, right, and you blend it, right, and then you put it into your bathtub.
Right.
All over the place, it's all crazy, right? Yeah. If you then put water in your bathtub and you leave it for a certain amount of time, the coral will, find its other bits and regroup into different shapes. So kind of like what you're doing. Maybe you were never there at the beginning, but
it wouldn't have been possible without the internet as well. So that
that
is a big part of all this.
Yeah, the internet is amazing.
Also, so much locality to what you're doing. Amazing. Everyone's right there.
I mean, the fact that we're just in the shop and we're just broadcasting.
Hello, where are we broadcasting to?
The world. The world, whoever's listening.
Yeah.
And so this is then automatically podcasted and just there for ever.
We're archived.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I could listen to it on the way home.
Whoa, would you do that?
No, but opens weird possibilities.
It's all there on iTunes podcast.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I'm going to send it to my mom.
Shout out to my mom.
Shout out to all the moms. Yeah.
We all love our moms.
It's also, what's it?
Hello.
Lent today as well.
Lent.
So you got everyone got.
Day.
No.
Day was yesterday.
So now it's Lent. So you have to give them a minute. For Lent.
What are you gonna give up?
Smoking.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good. That's awesome.
Got it. Eugene.
He's like, I ain't giving up.
Or you have to maybe not give something up. Take something up.
Heroin.
That's another reason why people wouldn't sit next to me on the train. What are you going to give up or take up?
Give up and take up.
You're going to give up and take up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it's Lent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I kind of just want to have pancakes tomorrow.
I made some pancakes last night, and they all looked so much like the moon. It was amazing. They were just like
mooncakes.
Mooncakes.
I saw that on Instagram actually.
Did you? Did you see my cosmos? Yeah, I was so proud. It was a terrible photo, but they were all amazing.
Pancake size of the face, freaking massive.
I love how this art podcast is no longer an art podcast.
Food podcast.
Yeah, but food is art.
Yeah, food is art.
Everything is art.
Everything's art.
That's what you got to remember.
This is usually how our Tech Bomb radio shows go. off with a point and then just meander.
That's the most interesting part. It's like, what? People's brains.
But we've got 5 minutes left, if we just bring it.
That's my. Like, looks like the moon, doesn't it? Yellow, weird moon.
So if you'd like to just tell people where they can find this place and also where they can find you online, and if individually you've got websites, give us them. Tell me.
Okay, you guys go first.
Harry?
You can find me online at Barry Chills, so that's Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, it's Harry Mills.
Excellent. Eugene?
I'll just say one thing. That project I was working on earlier, it's from the idea of Jessie Russell John. I thought I'd mention that.
Okay.
She's orchestrating that project.
She's fuming. Like, what the fuck?
I've limited myself recently just to Twitter, so Eugene Noble.
Okay, excellent.
Is that what you're giving up for Lent, like all the other
Yeah,
I have a social network. Yeah. I have a newly formed website, ColleenMcDonald.co.uk, and I have a shop on Etsy called Whiskers and Wands.
Cool.
Holly's got a new showreel on her website, by the way, go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm Collective Gallery, and you can spell Collective K-O-L-L-E-K-T-I-P. Whoops, yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So that's the German spelling. So go to collectivegallery.com or collective_ on Twitter or collective_gallery on Instagram. And my personal artist website is www.sophiegiblin.com.
Excellent, excellent. So I reckon we should wrap that up
or
now.
Or do we just like really talk really randomly for the next couple of minutes? Until
well, you could do until...
We're going on Ding Dong.
Ding Dong. Oh, what, a...
Ding Dong, Ding Dong, Connect Gallery.
Jingle.
Yeah, jingle. That's
yeah,
a jingle.
Make up a jingle.
Well,
hey!
We could just find a little tune.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah.
This is a quite laugh one.
Talk, talk.
Life's what you make it. See you Saturday, folks.
Peace.
Peace.